the usual problem of being prayed for and then starting with something like, it's the time of year for sports, and do you know there are some sports mentioned in the Bible? There are, because in 2 Timothy 2, verse 5, it says, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. So athletes clearly mentioned. We do have Ezekiel 27:26. Your oarsmen take you out to the high sea. So rowing is mentioned. The next part of the verse says, but the east wind will break you to pieces far out at sea. That's not so good. In the right version of the Bible, cricket is mentioned. On the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up before the 11 and was bowled. Very questionable reference to football in Jeremiah 50 verse 25. The Lord has opened his arsenal and brought out the weapons of his wrath. No. Tennis is definitely mentioned, again in the right version of the Bible, because in Genesis 41 verse 46, Joseph served in the court of Pharaoh. And more technically, for those who are more into tennis, Psalm 66 verse 11, you brought us into the net. So there we go. Well, Wimbledon's on, so hey. Tennis could be a focus of today, because today is all about serving. It's about how the Holy Spirit helps us to serve, but it's not tennis. Serving is in tennis. Serving is a serving of food, maybe. Serving suggestion on the front of your cereal box. How else are you supposed to eat it? Serving behind a counter. You get that in a shop. Serving a purpose. Well, maybe we're getting more to the kind of serving. Serving in the military. That's what we do. But serving, what does it mean? Serving as a Christian, serving in our Christian lives. Well, I want to think about that in three sort of dimensions, maybe. Up, in, and out. We've used that before, but it's a really helpful way of thinking about a lot of things. So serving in terms of up, in, and out. Up is the way that we serve God. The Bible talks a lot about us serving God. Joshua says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. In Psalm 100, it says, serve the Lord with gladness. So we're called to serve God. But just a thought, does God need serving? Like the sort of, certainly not, I could do with a cappuccino, please. Not that kind of serving. Does he need us? Is he inadequate on his own if we don't serve God? Well, actually, you read in other places that God doesn't need us to serve him. Paul says when he's in Athens, God is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. And Jesus said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So these verses say that God is actually not needing us to serve him, but that actually he gives to us as we serve him. It's not we who give to God in that sense. We serve God by focusing on him. And as we do so, God gives us stuff. It's like we were thinking about a couple of weeks back when we were thinking about worship. It's one of these wonderful things that as we do something towards God, God gives us something back again. It's not surprising, really, that there's a link between serving and worship, because actually the words used in the Bible for serve and worship are really very similar and even the same as each other sometimes. And the same is serving and worship. For example, Psalm 100, serve the Lord with gladness, it says in some versions, or worship the Lord with gladness, it says in other versions. So serving God, the sort of upward thing of serving as Christians, is trusting that he'll supply our needs and then living that out. Serving God is happy. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's not about obeying the rules of a dictator, but living a life when we are being provided for by the one who gives life, breath, and everything else, as Paul said when he was in Athens. Lots to do with serving God is kind of behind the scenes. It's not necessarily what other people see directly, but it's where the things that they do see are powered from, you might say. It's about being in God's presence, in church, on our own, or even as we go about day to day, our daily lives, wandering around. We are doing the things that God wants us to do in the presence of God all the time. That is what serving God is about. And the Holy Spirit empowers us to serve God. The Holy Spirit turns us towards God and tunes us into God. So the Holy Spirit helps us to have a love for God in all situations, helps us to pray, to know how to pray, when to pray. The Holy Spirit helps us to read and to understand the Bible and to respond to it. The Holy Spirit helps us to keep our minds on what is good in a world that can be so broken and so easily pull us away from what is good. The Holy Spirit draws us back. The Holy Spirit helps us guard what we watch or what we read, what we listen to, how we speak, what we eat or what we drink. With the help of the Holy Spirit, the enabling of the Holy Spirit, those ways which are actually about serving God, we're enabled in them as well. Some of this stuff happens just in amongst daily life. And other parts, and anyway, all of those parts, need us to have time with God. We need time spent with God so that we're ready for everything else, ready to be in God's presence, serving God in the hubbub of it all. So it all starts with time with God, time serving God. All starts with up, our connection up, and the Holy Spirit empowering us in that. So up is about serving God in, I'm thinking of, the church community, the church family, as it were. It's not all about up. It is to do with other people. Serving is not all about serving God, just it's about serving others. Serving, it's God wanting us to do this. I mean, Ephesians 2, verse 10, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Wonderful version of that in the Living Bible. It is God himself who has made us what we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus. And long ages ago, he planned that we should spend these lives in helping others. Well, that's a way of looking at it in that translation. And that's amazing. We'll think about serving others, and I'm starting with this in, which is serving others in the community of the church. And then we'll look at out, which is serving others out there in the rest of the world. Our reading from 1 Corinthians was about gifts of the Spirit and different kinds of service. Gifts and service that are given to the church for the building up of the church. Some of them seem to be big ticket things. And then there's things like helping and guidance. These are the sort of things that we can all give to each other. The Holy Spirit empowers us to serve in the church, to serve the church, to serve each other in the church, in some ways which are big and exciting, and in some ways which are just the day-to-day things. And serving in the church does build up the church. In Ephesians 4, we read, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And if we look at that list, we may think, oh, well, that's about people with a special gifting or anointing or calling. But actually, those are just examples of the way that people serve. Because the words for servant and minister are pretty much the same. So when somebody does something serving in the church, they're ministering. They're a minister of that thing. We are all called to be part of the ministry of the church, part of serving in the church. And we build each other up as we take part in those things. In that same reading, Paul talked about us as a body, the church as a body. He does it in a number of places. We all have different parts to play. We all have gifts and roles that are given by the Holy Spirit, and we're enabled to do them by the Holy Spirit. We play our parts to build up the body. We build up the church, encouraging, inspiring, listening, praying for each other, building each other up as fellow Christians just as we rub along together. That's part of serving in the church, the in part of serving. Some of that is really quite hidden. Some people's ministry is really quite hidden. They do a lot of that, encouraging and praying and supporting people in ways that the rest of us don't see. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing when you're doing that. And if you're aware of somebody who does those more hidden ways of building up the church, do encourage them from time to time, because when it's a hidden thing, it can quite easily go uncommented on. But actually, we all know that that sort of quiet work builds us up as a church, that kind of serving. And then there are some more public things that we see. We see people doing things like reading in church, or welcoming people at the back, or leading the prayers, or doing the coffees. These are things that are serving within the church, and they're really important for building up the body of Christ. And they're really wonderful ways in which we can do some of God's ministry. And if you wonder whether you might do some of those things and you haven't already, or some different things, do talk to Jenny, because just now she's looking ahead at who she's going to be putting on rotas and things, and would love to hear from some more people in some of those ways that we serve each other in the church. So she's not here today, but she's you do get in touch with her about that. And if you feel called to some of those other ways in which we serve within the church, which takes some more preparation or training, if you wonder about whether you might be involved in something like leading a home group or leading a service or preaching or something like that, please come and talk, because it would be wonderful to encourage each of us to serve in the different ways that we do. And some of them do take more preparation and thought, and others are just the way we are. All good ways in which we serve each other in that sort of in way, where we are serving the community of the church. All done through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, who gives us the courage to do things, gives us the eyes to see things, the ear that hears, that prompt that we might say something in response, and then the words to say. So that's all really good. The serving that we do in the church. Up, we serve God. In, we serve each other as a church community. But the point of the church, as well as supporting each other, in fact, the reason that the church exists, is for God's mission, which is in the world, to give glory to God and to make a difference in the world. Something that I read from Rick Warren, who's a pastor in America of a church called Saddleback, and he's also a writer. He says, "Have you ever wondered why God doesn't just immediately take us to heaven the moment we accept his grace? Why does he leave us in a fallen world? He leaves us here to fulfill his purposes. Once you are saved, God intends to use you for his goals. God has a ministry for you in his church and a mission for you in the world." And that is the out part of serving, up, in, and out. And it's great stuff. And I'm aware of people being stirred up even now in our church community for what it is that God's calling them to do out there in the world. And we get our example of how we might go about this straight from Jesus in that second reading we had, where Jesus is washing his disciples' feet, and then he says, "Follow my example. I've done this so that you would follow my example." It does make you think why we don't wash off each other's feet more often. Jesus said a bit later, he said, "Bread and wine, and follow my example," and we faithfully do that. Are we a bit squeamish about feet? I think what the church has done is has taken this to be that Jesus is saying, follow my example of meeting people's practical needs when they need them met. That's part of what the church is about, part of what we do. So the other thing you could say when reading about Jesus washing his disciples' feet is, well, they were the special disciples in the upper room. Maybe this is about looking after each other in the church community. Well, actually, so many things that Jesus also said, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, like the parable of the sheep and the goats, Jesus is looking out there and calling us to look out there at people we don't know, people who aren't part of the community. The Bible says, love your neighbour as yourself. Jesus quoted it and then asked, "Who is our neighbour?" and gave us an answer which was very broad. So we're called to serve out in the world. And what a wonderful thing that is to be able to do, to bring the love of Jesus to people in how we meet their needs. And then also maybe the opportunity for them to get to know Jesus for themselves. But there's not a requirement of a link from that one to the other. We serve generously because God calls us to. It starts from who we are and how God's made us, using the gifts that he's given us, using the experiences that we've had for better or for worse. And then we serve lovingly, often stretchingly, but never breakingly. Jesus says, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light." And in 1 Peter, we read in chapter 4, Peter saying, "Whoever serves, let it be as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ." Some of our serving out there will be just in our normal lives. It will be in where we spend our times at work, in school, in social gatherings, amongst the people we meet with. There, the Holy Spirit can give us an alertness to what God is about, what he would like us to be doing and saying in those normal situations. And it can feel risky to go into those situations with an ear to God and looking for the opportunities to serve him, even when they're familiar situations. But then we do serve God also in the unexpected encounters. People we didn't know we were going to walk into. Situations that crop up that we hadn't bargained for at all. If we have spent time serving God, worshipping God, in the presence of God, then we can be ready for those unexpected things. And however much we don't know what we're doing, God can help us to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to have wisdom, to have courage, to have strength, whatever's needed in those situations. We don't do it alone, we do it with God's help, and very often we do it with the help of others in the family of God as well. And we can do some things to be ready for those unexpected encounters. We can pray that we'll be ready. We can even pray for those unexpected encounters if we're feeling brave. Maybe we can have verses from the Bible that we get very familiar with, so that at the right moment we have them in mind. Even at the beginning of the day, some people read the armour of God, sort of putting on the armour of God. Or you can read the Beatitudes, or you know the Lord's Prayer and just bring that to mind at the right moment. There is a huge need out there in the world, and we know that, and sometimes it numbs us because the need is so huge. And as a church, we are called to make a difference in the world. And that difference will be in a particular way for each one of us. But we are all called in our different ways, whether that's doing something or giving towards other people who are doing something, or praying for the ways in which people's needs can be met. And the need starts right on our doorstep, or even through the doors here, the need starts of the world out there, as it were. And so we can be alert to it. We can be aware of it. Let's take courage and take some of our serving out there, or look for God's prompting, whether there's a way in which we might do a bit more of that serving out there that so many of us are also doing as we serve in here. But both of them are important, serving in the church and serving out, making a difference in the world. Serve the Lord with gladness is Psalm 100. Well, actually, I think that's serving in the church and serving out in the community, in the world, is also something which can be done with gladness. That's kind of what it's all about when we do it in step with God. And let's not lose that. All of this is done in step with God, and he's the one who enables us. I'm going to finish with a quotation from a bishop I had never heard of before, but it comes from the introduction to some information about a retreat house called St. Bino's. And I think while this is written for that retreat house, it's actually true for us as a whole church. This is by a bishop called Bishop Untenor. This is what we are about. We plant seeds that one day will grow. We water seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that produces effects beyond our capabilities. We cannot do everything, and there is a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something, and to do it very well. It may be incomplete, but it is a beginning, a step along the way, an opportunity for God's grace to enter and to do the rest. We may never see the end results, but that is the difference between the master builder and the worker. We are workers, not master builders. Ministers, not messiahs. We are prophets of a future, not our own. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you call us to serve you, to serve each other, and to serve this world. And we recognize that we can't do everything. And in fact, sometimes there seems very little we can do. But we thank you that as we do that serving, so we're doing part of your ministry in this world. And so we pray that you would encourage and enable us to serve you, to serve each other, and to serve out in the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name and with the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Amen.